So over the last few weeks, we've been featuring some of the winners of the Best of Wine Tourism Awards. And the winner in the owner category, Innovative Wine Tourism Experiences, is Benguela Cove. And we're very pleased to be chatting to our interviewee, Penny Streeter, today. A little bit about Benguela Cove. It's a wine estate, which is a perfect destination for a getaway. It's got quite a few accommodation options in oceanside luxury villas, and guests can enjoy amazing views of the vineyards and the lagoon. Trust me, I've been there and I can vouch for that. And it is considered one of the top wine farms in Hermanus and the Western Cape. It really offers a unique wine tasting experience because it's got cool climate and very terroir-specific wines that are 100% estate grown, produced, and bottled. The interesting thing is that the estate, besides the amazing art, and we'll chat about that in a bit, the estate also boasts one of the best restaurants in the area called Moody Lagoon. And like the name suggests, beautiful seafood dishes, other cuisine offerings, but unhinged views of the lagoon. And of course, we all look for that perfect wedding venue. And Benguela Cove is considered one of the best wineland's wedding venues because of its picturesque settings and, of course, the amazing, more than life-size art pieces. The estate does not forget about its small patrons, so it has a year-round program of entertainment and is considered a kid-friendly location. It's closely situated to the Botrivier wine farms and other wine farms near Hermanus. The Benguela Cove Lagoon Wine Estate is a must-visit destination, close to Cape Town, not too far away to drive. And we're going to be talking to an amazing woman called Penny Streeter. Penny was awarded the Order of the British Empire for service to enterprise in 2006. And this is not offered to just anybody. But she has literally built this business with no bank loans or outside investors. And she is really a champion in the media and on the conference platform for women in business. She shares her story and her experience and encourages other women who are working in different spheres. So I want to save Jenny's story for when we chat with her in person, just an overview of Jenny's of Penny Streeter as well as Benguela Cove. So, listeners, we gave you some background into Benguela Cove and its product offerings, and I'm very pleased to introduce Penny Streeter. We told you about this award-winning entrepreneur who is a champion for women in business and her a little bit about her journey. So we're very pleased to welcome Penny to the show. Penny, phenomenal to have you speak with us in your busy schedule. It's really wonderful to have you live on the show.
No problem. Thank you, Janet, for having me.
A big pleasure, Penny. So I see that we share something in common. Your father, Peter Stiff, was in the police force, and my dad was also a police officer during very difficult apartheid days in South Africa. And there's a certain sort of caliber of child that comes from a family where the father is from the military or the army or the police. What was that like for you growing up in a home like
No,
that?
it was good. I mean, yeah. I mean, my father was a policeman, so a little, quite strict, but ultimately, went on to be an entrepreneur himself. So he had a big influence over me. I think, you're right. Growing up in a military home is, I think, you learn things a bit more precise and not to dither and dather, that sort of thing.
Yes, I must agree with you on that. No room for error, and things are done a specific way. Yes, absolutely. Now, interestingly, you say your dad was eventually migrated to entrepreneurship. So I grew up with a chalkboard wall in our double garage my entire childhood, and my dad had all these nerdy friends because he was studying law, so he migrated to law. From the police service. So interesting story there. So you say
Yeah.
that your dad had some influence on you and your life as an entrepreneur. How is that, Penny?
Well, I think both my parents really. I mean, just they, I think they always instilled in me that there wasn't anything I could, nothing was impossible and I could always do whatever I wanted to do. So, there was no such word as can't in our family. So, you can do whatever you can do whatever you want to do and be whatever you want to be, just by, whatever education you have or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. And I think they sort of put that into me from very, very young.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that, Penny. And you know, we all have our own specific roadmap and our own journey, but yours has been such an inspiring one. And we've spoken before on the show, so this is my second engagement with you, and I know the story well, but some of our listeners perhaps not. So maybe you want to share where that story emanates from, where it goes to, and where it ends at Benguela Cove. Because I see that vineyards were planted at Benguela Cove in 2003 to 2007, and that you acquired the estate in 2013.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that happened before that, right? And it's in these times that we find ourselves, where mental health is challenged, where business is really difficult. I'd love to hear, I think it would be a huge inspiration to our listeners to hear where Penny started.
Okay. I mean, I think, like I said, I started off with a sort of can-do attitude. So I suppose, I left school in what was Standard 8 at that time. So that was, I went to school in Alberton and Joburg, and my parents had divorced. So my mother was in the UK, and what happened is I ended up sort of going back and forth between South Africa and the UK, I suppose, because it suited me as a child. So being difficult. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no education, so that was that. And I decided that initially I would train to be a beautician, which I did, but wasn't very good at doing that. And I decided one day I'd walk into a recruitment agency and said to them, "Look, have you got a job?" And the guy on the other side of the desk said, "Absolutely, it's here. Come and sit the other side of the desk." And that was what got me started in recruitment.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I basically worked for this company, was very successful, recruited my mum into that business as well. And at some point we started earning too much money and they decided, enough's enough. They called us in and they said, "Look, we can actually get people cheaper than you. Your commission's too high," and they fired us.
Oh, wow.
So we were sort of quite shocked, and that prompted us to, I think, really go out and start our own business. And we knew nothing,
That'll
we hadn't
teach you to
trained in
excel,
anything.
Penny Street, huh? That'll teach you to excel. Off you go.
And yeah, so basically had very little money, but my mum sort of got a loan from her mum and she borrowed a bit from the bank, and we set up our first business. And it was great. I mean, it seemed to be doing really well, but all of a sudden the sort of things happen and there was a massive recession in England, and suddenly overnight our whole market sort of dried up, and before you knew it we had hundreds of people looking for work and no clients looking for to employ anyone. So the business unfortunately went bust. And everyone said to us, "Look, you're rubbish at business. Whatever you do, don't open another one, go and get a job," which I didn't do. I at that time
Clever girl. You learn from the last one.
at that time I decided I had two small children, and I decided that I was going to come back to Johannesburg. So I came back to Joburg, and I was working with my sister in a restaurant in Alberton, and I got pregnant again, and one of my daughters got sick. So I decided that I'd go back to England, and I went back there, and I was actually had nowhere to live, and I ended up living in homeless accommodation, with the children. So, and my marriage broke down as well. So it was really pretty bad times. And a
Absolutely,
friend of
really,
mine, how
isn't it just the law of averages?
Yeah, exactly.
That, it all happens at once.
No, definitely. Never rains, but it pours. But a friend of mine, who I went to school with in Joburg, actually was in the UK, and her husband said, "Look, I've got a corner of I run a car parts business, and I've got a small corner in my office if you're interested." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And we restarted our business again, and this time, having all these children, I worked one day, my mum worked the other day because we couldn't afford childcare. And literally, that business evolved into healthcare. We fell upon it by chance. We were, calling clients, and we came across a nursing home who then called us back at sort of 8, 9 o'clock at night and said, "Look, I'm desperate for staff." And the rest was really history for us. We saw a niche in the market, and we became the first 24/7 nursing agency in the UK.
Amazing. You
And
see, you
literally,
find that niche, you find that unique selling,
exactly.
like the 24/7 service, and then you
Yeah,
set your.
because in those days, nobody worked 24/7. They all shut up at 5 and went home. But
Yes.
and healthcare obviously isn't like that. They can never go home. They've got people sick in there night and day, so they always need staff. And our business grew dramatically during that time. We applied, I don't know, good old Southern African service to everything that we did. And basically, the business just grew like topsy. We became the fastest growing company in the UK. And the business expanded from literally zero to, a massive, massive big company. And it's still going today. So today we have our operations, there's obviously in the UK, also in South Africa here as well. We have two South African nursing agencies.
What
And
is it called in South Africa, if I may ask?
our two companies are called Ambition 24 Hours and N the Nursing Services of South Africa.
Excellent. Thank
So
you, Jen.
we provide nurses, doctors, and home services across the whole country. So the business is still very much operational, but I've been in that for a long time. And during this time, I'd remarried, and my husband was here in South Africa, and he was a bit of a boat fanatic. And one day he had a little boat, a little rubber duck, and he was looking for somewhere to launch it. And we ended up at Benguela Cove for some reason. He'd seen it in a
Oh,
boating
wow.
magazine. And that's how we came
Amazing.
to own Benguela, really. I mean, it didn't go it, initially we bought a holiday home there, and unfortunately the developer at the time passed away, and I think that was about in 2010, and we could by 2012 it was really going bad because the widow ironically was a nurse herself and obviously wasn't used to running a business and was being didn't really
All
want, I
your
think.
universes aligned, Jenny.
Exactly. And we acquired Benguela. So that was how we came to, own that business. And it was great because after being in, the recruitment industry, suddenly the hospitality industry and wine business was much more friendlier, much more social than the previous recruitment companies a bit cutthroat and were,
Absolutely, yes.
so it was a very different situation. So as you said earlier, the vines were already planted, but there was really nothing else there. None of the restaurants or winery or anything were in place, and we developed all of that, put that in place, and we're still busy with it. So we're still busy developing more things there.
Phenomenal. And what a feather in your cap to have Benguela Cove win this
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
amazing,
Yeah, very lucky.
innovative wine tourism experience.
No,
What will
it
that
is.
mean for you as an establishment, Penny?
Sorry?
What will that mean for you? Or how will that impact for you as an establishment,
The
the
tourism.
win of innovative wine
Yeah, no.
tourism
Yeah.
experience?
No, massively, because it's a mark of confidence. It shows for your staff, it shows that you're doing things correctly. because everything's so guest centered, you know, that making sure that they're having a really amazing experience. And I think, you know, you drum this into staff, but sometimes having that recognition come back where you say, actually, look, people really appreciate it, they do like it, and people are coming back is really, really important.
Absolutely. I think it's such a special place. I come because of the art. I'm a wine, I'm also a wine judge on the Best of Wine Tourism.
Oh, are you? Okay.
And the Great Wine Capitals. But
Wow.
I'm not a big wine drinker, just out of choice. But I come
Yeah.
for the art, and I've brought friends and family over and over again. And we all sit down, take a picture of ourselves in the gold chair outside the toilet. We stand next to the, we marvel at the guy who's like got his butt face to the parking. All the way to
No.
getting planted every single time we come there. And you know, the art is just manna for my soul. So it's really, really amazing.
No,
And
brilliant. I mean, and I think for people who
congratulations.
don't drink, we try to encompass that because, you know, not everyone who visits a wine farm is, you know, an avid wine drinker. You're normally, it's normally a couple in the group, but, you know, there's responsible driving, there's all sorts of things. And a lot of people don't
There's
drink, so
also
we try
people who
to.
just, yeah, who come
Yeah.
because they want to have lunch, or they want to have a nice
And we
coffee.
try to cater for those people because I mean, we've had that ourselves. We've been to a wine farm. You said, "Oh, can I get a coffee?" And they go, "No, we're a wine farm. You can't have a coffee."
How dare you?
So, yeah, it is important.
Yes. So I must tell you that I brought a large group of my friends. Last year, most of them non-wine, non-drinkers, most of them Muslim. And your team was so amazing with the coffees and the canapes that we ordered. We really had an amazing
Oh,
experience.
well, that's nice
And,
feedback
you
to
know, we
have.
were 90% non-drink, they were 90% non-drinkers. I tasted 90% non-drinkers, and they felt incredibly comfortable, went on the wine, the vineyard tour, and saw the amazing property. It was very, very special. So definitely something for everybody, Penny.
No, I'm definitely glad to hear that.
So it's fairly early in the year. It's only February and the last day of February. Do you have any big plans for 2024 in terms of the estate, in terms of your own business model, and where you're heading with Benguela Cove?
I think, yeah, for I mean we've always got lots of exciting plans, and we're always trying to innovate and look at what we're doing to see what we can do better. At the moment we're busy with our villas, with our luxury villas, and we've got a further two more coming online and a further four to start. We're also busy conceptualizing because ultimately Benguela has got outlining consent for a hotel, and we're just trying to conceptualize how that would work and you know what that product would look like and how it would fit into the whole offering. So that's all quite exciting, I think. And yeah, just really innovating and making sure that we do what we do better each time.
Absolutely. And you know, you are the Teflon princess, because you are bounce back and re-innovate. And you know, I'm sure that people say, how dare she? Oh no, now yet again, this new thing. And I love that, because it means that you're a disruptor. And you know, people normally use the word disruptor for young people in their 20s and 30s, who are doing tech stuff and, you know, turning things on their head. But I think the fact that you can innovate inside of your business, and that you have the resilience to continue to do what you do. As a business owner myself, I have tremendous respect for that, Penny. And you must know that there are women like me who face challenges out here in the world. I'm in the transport sector. We're always under threat because we're on the road. We've had everything from hijackings to having our drivers held hostage. And it's not an easy space to work in. And in those dark moments when you feel like everything is just closing in, then we seek out those leading lights like yourself and say, what would Penny have done? How did Penny navigate this? So I also want to say, from a personal point of view, thank you so much for being that leading light for so many of us, because it does get really tough out here. And we need to know that there is light on the other side of the tunnel. It just takes some resilience and some hard work, and we get there. So thank you for
Yeah.
that.
No. Well, thank you. I mean, you're doing an amazing job, and in a quite male dominated side as well, which makes it even harder being female and tough.
Absolutely.
Even more reason to be more focused.
Yes. So wonderful as always chatting to you, Penny. And thank you for joining us today on Jet Setting with Janet. We have actually jet setted to Benguela Cove. So kick that off our must-do list. Thank you for that. And thank you for the great experiences that we've enjoyed there.
Thanks ever so much.
It's a big pleasure, Penny.